Welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the recent burning of the Holy Quran in Sweden. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about the burning of the Holy Quran in Sweden by a Swedish politician. In order to talk a little bit about this, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Ali Qumi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan to speak to us a little bit about this recent issue. And so we invite him and begin our talk show in the name of Allah. Sheikh Ali Qumi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
Sheikh, so it's really nice to have you on the talk show after a relatively long break. You know, we always love having you on the talk show, benefiting from your thoughts and your words of wisdom, inshallah. So recently we have seen this very audacious and this blatant, in our opinion, this criminal act of burning the Holy Quran in a public space in Sweden by an official of the government, right? Now, whether he's a Swedish politician or a Danish politician, I'll leave that up to you. But this burning of the Quran, which also wasn't the first time that this specific individual had burned the Quran. So we wanted to bring you in, and of course we've seen reactions from all across the Muslim world. We wanted to get your take on this situation. We hand it to you in the name of Allah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, we have to look at why in the world somebody would go around and burn a book.
Right.
You know, and that too, a holy book, which 1.5 billion people around the world revere, respect, and consider it to be their, you know, way of learning, way of living, way of guidance, the method that they get guided through, is the Holy Quran.
Yes.
Why in the world would somebody feel provoked to do such an action, right? This in itself, you know, requires a detailed discussion.
Sure.
What is the mindset of such an individual, right? And it's not just one or two individuals. It's like a handful of individuals throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if you look at all of the people who have committed such a, heinous act, and such a lowly act, you would see that, you know, there are very few individuals who have gone to this extreme. What is the state of mind that they're in, you know? It's hard to imagine that such a person is in a normal state of mind.
Sure,
they have to be psychologically, you know, upset. You know, a retarded person would do something like this.
Yeah,
you know, go around and
even borderline insane. You know,
exactly.
There's deep psychological issues going on here, which I mean, hatred is an integral part of that psychological state.
Mentally
of an individual.
Disturbed people, you know,
right,
so somebody who goes to this length is, you know, not normal to say the least, right?
Right, right?
So now this person represents a political party, right? So you can well imagine how extreme views that political party can potentially have, right? So this, you know, this act of his, I think, should be looked at as something that should end his career, to say the least, right?
Yes.
And
yes,
he shouldn't be part of any mainstream politics, because politics is supposed to, manage a society. And if there are individuals with such an outrageous idea, you know, they should not be part of any team that is supposed to manage any society anywhere around the world, right? So that's one thing.
And I mean, I'd like to add here. So, for example, we've seen in history that when individuals who had these very ultra radical, extremist, borderline psychotic thinking, and you let them come into government, then, you know, the end result is individuals like Hitler,
exactly,
or some other totalitarian or authoritarian regimes which killed their own people.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, if you bring somebody into power that has these tendencies like this individual, then, you know, they'll mass killing spree on behalf of the government.
Mm-hmm. The second point I would like to make real quick here is that, you know, sometimes it's okay and good to look at these acts as an individual act.
Sure.
Somebody, you know, who's not in the right state of their mind, or they're just, you know, going through a rough patch of their life, you know, they're psychologically, you know, all disturbed. Over the place and disturbed, they would go around and do, it's fine, you know, if somebody wants to analyze it like that. But I think there's another dimension to this whole, you know, burning of Quran, you know, and similar acts like these.
Sure.
And that is a very organized effort that is very desperate to express and show their anger, right? They're extremely angry and they're very, you know, very ambitious to express their anger, right? Mm-hmm. And hence it becomes that organized mindset that is making such individuals be the face of such disturbed activities.
Mm-hmm. So anger towards what? I'm sure you're going to open up, you know, this kind of
You know, naturally, naturally it compels us to speak about what are they angry about?
Yeah, yes.
Well, you know, in a nutshell, they're angered that Quran, the Holy Quran, has guided so many individuals, so many societies, so many people towards the good of this world and the hereafter. So now they're angry because they wanted the agenda of Shaitan to prevail in the world.
Right.
They didn't want the agenda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevail in the world. Those, you know, divine principles of living your life to prevail in the world.
Sure.
So now they look at, oh, there's so many people, they're, you know, converting to Islam, especially in Europe, you know that, you know.
And even in mainland USA.
Right. All of these people converting to Islam, they're getting attracted towards the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this divine book. You know, this is where they all start, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, they're like, okay, we're failing in our whole attempt to, you know, make this world a place which is governed by the principles of Shaitan and evil powers. So now they're like, okay, we have to express our anger towards this book that is guiding and calling people towards that divine guidance.
Right.
So this is a very organized effort. You know, this can potentially be very organized effort where such individuals that just get used by those efforts.
And they don't even know that they're getting used.
In some cases, they may not know.
And it's interesting because if you pump out enough of this kind of false propaganda and this, and really it's false and, well, falsehood and lies and deception and these weapons of mass deception, as some brothers called it at one point in time. With so much coming out, it's interesting that we find Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei talk about the jihad of clarification in order to combat these. And I'm sure that, like you said, there's these many individuals who fall under this propaganda of falsehood and lies and start to believe these things, and this hate increases to a point where, you know, an already psychologically disturbed individual goes and burns the holy book of 1.5 billion peaceful Muslims. Yes, continue.
And by the way, it's not just 1.5 billion Muslims who respect this book. Many non-Muslims respect this book, right?
Yes,
you go around, you do the survey, alhamdulillah, you know, people who believe in coexistence, people who believe in, you know, looking into different religions, they're respected too. So it's, the number is way larger than 1.5 billion. It's just a few extremists who would go to such lengths to burn and insult other religions or other, you know, holy books. For instance, if you look at Muslims, we don't, you know, necessarily agree with what the books of other religions say, but we don't go around burning them.
Of course not.
Right? Because it's actually something we condemn.
Yes.
We don't endorse of such acts, right? So the number is way larger than 1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. The third point I would like to make here in terms of this burning of Quran and so on and so forth, I think it's a very politically driven move that is being made by those who want to instigate a certain type of individuals who can potentially become the counterpart of who? Of this individual or similar individuals. I know it became a bit confusing.
Well, yeah, because I was going to ask you about, you know, what is the purpose? Is the purpose to get a reaction out of people? I don't know if this is
exactly
what you're
I'm
going
getting,
to talk
getting okay. towards, right?
All so, right, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there are some people who are emotional, right? We have different types of people, right? Some are more emotions-driven than intellectually driven, right?
Sure.
So what would those emotional people who are on that borderline of, you know, their emotions being, you know, very high, how would they react to it?
They'll get angry, they'll get upset, you know.
Right? They'll burn this, break that, you know, protest this, you know, and I'm not, we will discuss about, you know, whether we should protest or not. Let's keep it for sometimes after.
But this is one of the reactions.
Emotional people, right, who would go to any length when they get emotionally attacked, right, this is what they're expecting.
Sure.
They want these guys to go on, I don't know, like killing spree, just open up.
Yeah, burning public property, destroying public property, yeah.
And as soon as that reaction comes, let's say from a person who has a Muslim name, bingo. Now the media has something to talk about. Islam is extreme. Islam. Mm. They wouldn't talk about how it all began.
Mm. The guy prodding, you know, to get a reaction from the individual.
And this is something that they have been doing it over and over again, over and over again. And then in some cases they would show footages of people, you know, shouting slogans, for instance, and they would go like, oh, Muslims, look, Muslims are, they don't believe in engagement and dialogue and talking. See how they paint a picture.
It's actually quite evil, to be honest with you.
It's very notorious, very cunning, and very devilish. Now, you know, the other extreme is that you do not react. You want to be all composed, you want to be all calm, you know, no matter what anybody does, anybody says, you know, no matter how evil of an act they commit against you, how disrespectful they are, but, you know, you're just all composed and calm and silent and passive in the name of, you know, patience. Against so-called. What? Against aggression, against attacks. So this is the other extreme. Again, look at their agenda. For them, it's win-win situation. If Muslims become passive towards such acts, then they are happy because now they have accomplished Muslims getting disconnected, detached from their sanctities.
And they're destroying their sanctities and the Muslims aren't giving any reaction.
Exactly. Which means they have been desensitized towards defending their sanctities, protecting their holy book, protecting their messenger, for instance, right? So on and so forth. Protecting their belief, defending their belief. And this is what the neoliberalism wants, right? This is what the secular mindset would actually want from you. The Muslims to just drop the ball. You know, you don't care for any of your sanctities. You don't care for any of your holy, beings, or let it be individuals, let it be your book, you know, your mosques. You don't care for any of that.
Right.
So you have practically become, you know, inactive.
Impotent for exactly. as you've said in some of your speeches. Right. What's interesting here, and because so before this Quran burning, we did have this Charlie Hebdo international cartoon type thing against the sanctity of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And I don't know, maybe we won't get into the whole discussion right now. We'll leave it for a little bit later if we have time, right? But there's a common denominator, right? So there you have France, and it was the same Charlie Hebdo, that made the cartoons against the Holy Prophet as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a while back, again France. And then in France, you also have this hijab ban, right? And matter of fact, there's a ban on all kind of religious symbols. So whether it's the skull cap of the Jewish faith, or it's the cross of the Christian Catholic faith, right? These are all banned. And again, this is in France, who claims to be a secular nation, right? And neoliberalism and all these things. Because you said secular, this came up. Is this not a kind of a blatant hypocrisy and a blatant, you know, just turning back on their own ideals, and even to an extent of extremism and secular intolerance towards these religious sanctities? One is that, and two, that the Christianity and Jewish, they have a problem with all religions, if you'd like to comment.
See, this secular intolerance that you have mentioned, I think it's a very profound concept enough in itself, right? You know, a lot of times they would try to blame it on religious people that they're like, you know, closed-minded. But let me ask you, how many religious people are attacking any of the sanctities, if there are any, of secularism?
Right.
You don't see that happening, right? There's no narrow-mindedness. There's like, okay, let's talk, let's do dialogue. What is good for our society? Even when it comes to topics like abortion and so on and so forth, there are talks going on in the world, right?
Sure.
But when it comes to secular mindset, this intolerance continues to increase. They don't want to see anything that has to do with religion. Not just Islam.
Yeah.
Any religion.
Right.
They want it all to be wrapped up, you know, just shoved across, you know, on the side. And they don't want any of the religious symbolism, religious talk, religious demeanors, religious, you know, gatherings, anything happening in the societies. Is it not intolerant, being intolerant towards religious people?
Which extremism.
It's proper extremism, right?
Yeah.
It's proper. And in some cases, it turns into, you know, liberal and secular terrorism that they're doing.
Especially in this case of burning the Holy Quran.
Exactly.
I mean, I would really call this, secular terrorism.
Look,
you know?
how many countries have officially condemned Jordan, Kuwait, Egypt, UAE, Qatar, Pakistan, Iran. You know, they've all condemned it. You look at the religious and international organizations like OIC, which is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Gulf Cooperation Council, right? It's Persian Gulf Cooperation. GCC, it's known
right,
as,
right.
I believe, right?
Right?
Islamic Resistance Movement in Palestine, Hamas. Islamic Resistance Movement in Lebanon, Hezbollah. Islamic Resistance Movement in Yemen, Ansarullah, right?
They had
so
almost
so
a million
forth.
Man march on this thing.
Exactly. So what is going on in the world where you are attacking all of these organizations, all of these countries, all of these nations, all of the public, you know, that subscribe to Islam, to say the least, right? You are making them disturbed through burning of Quran of one individual. My question is, is the world peace not important for these European countries?
Sure.
You know, right. Why is it that Sweden gives permit to such an individual to roam around freely in their country, burn Quran, incite others to, you know, do something violent? Is he not creating, insecurity in the entire society?
Yeah. Because there's a lot of Muslims who live in Sweden, by the way.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, there's no reaction from these governments.
Mm. No, they actually protect this kind of
and
thing.
And they protect them.
And they actually support this kind of
they
thing.
They provide this, immunity.
The last time this happened, the Swedish Prime Minister, I don't know what her name was, or is for that matter, Magdalena something, she actually came out and supported this. She said that in our country we have, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, or whatever. And so we allow this thing.
So what happened to all that, you know, we have to look out for people's security and safety and our societies to be, you know, stable and not letting violence, you know, prevail in our societies. Is this not an act of violence from an individual which provokes a reaction from so many potential individuals out there?
Right.
So what happens when it comes to enmity against Islam?
It's okay.
And
it's quite barbaric.
And this is where the hypocrisy of the West, it becomes very evident. It's right in your face. When it comes to somebody taking off their clothes, you know, it's, the freedom of choice, freedom of whatever. But when it comes to a Muslim, a Muslim sister putting on hijab, you put a ban on it.
Mm.
See how hypocritical these governments and these setups are, right? And this is, I think, something that the Western world, you know, the collective West, and the Western governments, they need to sort out, because this has becoming very obvious.
And they need to answer, right?
Back in the day, we would have to connect the dots to come to these conclusions.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you know, right in your face.
Yeah. And they have to answer. These are questions that the Muslim world in general, well over 1.5 billion people, and as you said, any kind of trust in truth and, excuse me, justice-seeking individuals across the world, you know, who believe in this respect of the sanctities of one another, the collective West has to answer to this well over 1.5 billion
people.
There's
insensitivity towards their emotions, towards their beliefs. There's no respect. Yeah. They're being dealt as, like, you know, third-class citizens, not even that.
Right. And, I mean, I know it's kind of a tangent, but that's one of the good things about the talk show. So here you have individuals who, as you said, live in their countries, are their own citizens, and yet you treat these people as third-class citizens by officially allowing an individual to come and disrespect their sanctities. And it's not just sanctities. I mean, this is the revelation from God, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, I don't know, fokorade sanctity. It's a super sanctity, you know. You allow this. My question here is to the citizens. whom this kind of oppression is being done upon, why would you even want to live in this kind of a country that treats you like a third-class citizen?
Well, I think this is a question for all the people of conscience. They either need to become active, make sure that such acts are not taking place in their vicinity, in their countries, you know, do whatever, you know, form those lobbies or put pressure on your governments. Otherwise, you know, it is obvious that it's becoming difficult for you to survive in these countries. Right. And in some cases, it may not even be an appropriate choice to stay in these countries.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're contributing towards their economy and you are being, you know, citizens who are actually contributing to the well-being and the strengthening of their societies and their, you know, their communities.
And their systems.
Then, in response, what does that system do to you, right?
This burns your holy book.
Yeah, this is not
And it
fair.
Makes cartoons of your prophet.
Charlie Hebdo, you know, this is not the first time they have done something like this, you know.
Right.
And this time around, it's against Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. So a direct connection here is, you know, if we start backwards, you know, talking about Charlie Hebdo. The latest of their criminal activities was making cartoons of, you know, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, who is very respected throughout the Islamic world, and there are many who follow him as a religious authority, right?
Right.
So you turn around and you make a cartoon of his. Why? Well, who is he to you? He never lived in your country, you know, he doesn't even speak your language, you know. So why? Well, this is where the failed project of the United States of America and the Zionist regime and the British government and the European countries that we lately saw in the Islamic Republic of Iran, where they wanted to instigate these riots, right, after the death of Mahsa Amini,
the
natural death of Mahsa Amini. They wanted to make sure that these riots turned violent, and they wanted to make sure that this becomes the cause of bringing down the Islamic system of Wilayat al-Faqih in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what was the result? We witnessed it.
Yeah, they failed
it
miserably.
Horribly, right? It was a slap on
and
their face.
And it was very, just to kind of add a point, you know, it was very well funded. It was very well orchestrated. Mm-hmm. You had multiple intelligence agencies involved. You had domestic intelligence, you know, agents working for God knows how long.
There's still these spy networks that the authorities here are catching. You know, if you look at the local news, every now and then you see like, you know, 6 people got caught here, 7 people there, 12 people there. You know, there were a very organized network of these spies, and they were actually trained spies. And they were sort of the sleeper cells living in the Islamic Republic who were trying to create this whole movement against the system, and they failed miserably, right?
Miserably, yeah.
The system is way stronger than these, you know, few protesters, you know,
And these few arrogant powers across the world.
Exactly.
Right? I'd like to add that in there.
Crumbling arrogant powers, you know, so-called, right?
Yeah, sure.
Look at their economy, look at their own domestic issues that they're going through, look at how disturbed their family structure is, look at their political system, you know, where they're insulting each other, you know, it's a defunct, these are defunct
society,
systems, so to speak, right?
Anyways,
we'll get to that some other day, right? The fall of this collective West. We will, inshallah, talk about it someday if we get an opportunity or if Allah gives us the tawfiq. But that whole project failed in Iran. So they are furious.
Sure.
They had like so much investment behind this whole project, and they were pinning their hopes that this is it. You know, the Islamic Republic is coming down,
finally,
the system of Wilayat al-Faqih. Now, why did it fail? Of course, for many, many reasons. But I want to discuss this one reason. And that is because of the spiritual strength of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Interesting.
This is that ultimate reason. He's the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows how to protect his wali. Allah knows how to protect his system. Allah made their plans fail through the wali, through his spiritual power.
Sure.
Through his basira. Through his, you know, actions,
his insight,
and through his inactions, his insight, his acumen, right? His ability to lead. You know, these are the reasons that actually made them focus on the leader himself. So they're like, what do we do? They didn't have anything better to do than to make some cartoons, some cheap cartoons.
It's quite pitiful in one sense, right? Where it's like, man, we really pity you guys. As you said, right, that you have no other option. You can do nothing else. You have become so impotent, you know.
This is desperation showing.
Intense desperation. Then we're just going to do a cartoon competition and in that manner, you know, somehow bring down the status of one of the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's so funny that they pin their hopes on such cheap tactics.
Yeah, it's quite
humiliating. Charlie Hebdo as a magazine or whatever newspaper
it's a trash
publication,
magazine,
it's trash. It doesn't have any standing, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's trying to gain some attention through such cheap tactics, right? So before that, they made the caricature of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah. You know, they tried to somehow convey this message that, you know, he's not respected. But then, you know, there were protests and you know, the whole story happened. Then, you know, this burning of Quran. All of these tactics are actually showing the desperation of the camp of arrogance, the evil camp of shaitan. They're losing the game. The time is slipping away. And alhamdulillah, people are getting attracted towards Islam. People are getting more sold on the divine principles and human principles of Islam. And they see that as a salvation for this world and the hereafter. I keep saying this world and the hereafter because the West, you know, it claimed that we can manage this world, you know, this physical world here, and they failed. You know, for those who know, even if you look at the non-Muslims analysts, they know that the West has failed in managing this world,
the
resources of this world. Yeah. They failed miserably, so now they're trying to cover it up.
I wanted to add, you know, and then let you continue, was that the collective West, apparently, they brought forth two models. One was communism, one was capitalism. Mm-hmm. So communism, you know, was destroyed way back when Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, told them that this system is going to break.
Yeah. And he said, I'm hearing the crumbling of the bones of communism.
Ahsant. And so communism broke, the only one that was left, and of course, both of these philosophies claimed that they would be able to at least, you know, but not at least, but that they would be able to handle the physical, material, and economic, financial welfare of people in the world, right? And we saw communism was not able to do it. Capitalism was the only one left. And just like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, at that time said about communism, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei has said that about capitalism in the present day, that you're breaking, you're done.
Exactly.
And you were saying that this is what they fear, the fact that Islam is a model which not only deals with the worldly material welfare of human beings, but also that of the hereafter. Exactly. Continue, please.
Right. So this whole free market capitalism, you know, it has come to an end. I'm sorry to tell it to the world, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those who know, they know it, and those who are in the field, they say this, you know, we're no expert on economy, but, you know, free market capitalism, just like liberal democracy, is coming to an end, brothers and sisters.
Quite quickly.
Yeah, this is happening more faster than we expected it to, right? The only viable model and solution for the humanity is the pure Muhammadan Islam, right? And this is what they keep on attacking, sometimes through attack on Quran, sometimes attack on Prophet, sometimes attack on the religious authorities like Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei and others, you know, Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. I remember they did something cheap tactic, you know, regarding him, you know, Ayatollah Sistani. Yeah. All of, you know, our religious authorities and key figures in Islam, they try to attack them. Why? Yeah. Because they want to convey a message that these are not to be respected. These sanctities, these holy personalities, they're not to be respected. But alhamdulillah, the more they attack, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respect to these personalities.
Right?
As Quran says, you know, I have this verse of Holy Quran with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ That they want to extinguish the nur of Allah through their mouth.
Right.
You know how you blow, right?
A candle out, right.
They want to extinguish the nur of Allah, the light of Allah, which is Islam, which is Quran, which is Prophet, which is Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, and which is their rightly guided, deputies, right? Like Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, like other scholars, right? They want to extinguish this nur of Allah through their blows, through their mouth.
Mm.
But Allah is determined that He's going to complete this nur.
Mm.
And the completion of this nur is what? The reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, and that
Allah.
That governance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, who is going to make sure that this world is operated based on the divine principles of Islam, and the rule of justice is going to prevail in this world, right? The mustad'afin, the weak ones, they're going to be taken care of. The unfortunate ones, the less fortunate ones, they're going to be taken care of. That divine system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is going to rule this world. That is the completion of this nur. So naturally, the evil powers are going to try to obstruct this nur from becoming completed. It's very simple,
this
equation
is. This is what they're doing, yeah.
This is what the crux of the matter is, right?
Right.
They know that Islam is the only proper solution and viable solution and ultimate solution for humanity to succeed in this world and the hereafter. So they're trying to just, you know, obstruct Islam, attack Islam, you know.
Divide and conquer
Islam. Go against Islam, create disunity within Islam.
Create Daesh, ISIS, Boko Haram, these kind of guys.
All of these things are actually because of this philosophy of Islam, which is going to prevail whether they like it or
Walau
not.
Walau
karihal mushrikun, walau karihal kafirun. Whether they like it or not, whether the kuffar like it or not, whether the mushrikeen like it or not. So for our own people, you know, those who are looking for that guidance, you know, you need to join the camp of Haq as soon as you can. The time is running out. You know, many of our people are riding the sinking ships, and in some cases, boats.
Right? Some cases, canoes.
Some cases, canoes, right? I mean, you
know, they really need to wake up.
You need to make those decisions. Those decisions may look a bit difficult on the surface level. So Shaitan, he knows how to make those decisions, the right decisions, difficult for you. But remember, those decisions are actually easy to make. Shaitan makes it look like it's difficult.
Right.
Make those decisions. Make those right choices based on the true and right understanding of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and the divine teachings of Islam. Make those choices. Don't be afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of you as He has for others.
Sure.
Why would He not take care of you? You are His servant too. If you take a step for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you step forward and do the right thing, make that right choice, it becomes bound on Allah. It becomes wajib on Allah to take care of you in His own way. And He's not confined.
Very beautiful. Sheikh Ali, I did want to come back. You had talked about that one of the things that these kind of powers and these individuals want to do is that they want to get a reaction, right? And you said, so one reaction is the very ultra emotional. There's no logic in that reaction. It's just, you know, going out and maybe burning, yelling, or these kind of things. You had brought up another question that you were going to talk about, and I bring up, and that's, well, is the other option to not give a reaction and to not protest? And if you protest, what do we mean by protest? I kind of want to add the social media factor in there without answering too much, but I hand it to you.
Well, first of all, I think let's just look at this whole idea of reacting and not reacting. Because sometimes I feel back in the day when we were in the States, you know, sometimes similar things would happen and the question would come up. Some community members would say, you know, we need to go and protest. Others would say, no, this is exactly what they want. They want us to give reaction. Some would say, you know, we need to do this. So there would be a split. You know, it's always, always a case, you know, every time something like this happens.
Right.
So, you know, back in the day, you know, we would go to the local scholars, right, and ask them, right? So this is, I believe, still is the right thing to do. You go to the local Maulana. Don't just, you know, get up and start doing, you know, anything out of emotion or anything out of, you know, your love for Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and the sanctities of Islam.
Sure.
You know, don't just go all out, you know. The right way to do is to contact the local community first, you know, go to the resident Maulana, whoever that Maulana may be, right? We're just saying that, inshallah, all of them are good, you know, and they have that shuja'at and that bravery and that, you know, backbone to stand up for Islam. You know, we're assuming it. And at the same time, they have the basira to make the right decision, right?
Sure.
Sometimes not standing up right away is the right decision, right? Sometimes you do an alternate, you take an alternate route, you know. So the bare minimum is you go to the local scholars, you know, consult with them whenever it comes to the Islamic issues and defending the sanctities, right? Now, you know, this whole idea of not reacting because they are expecting a reaction, this is very prevalent in the West.
Right.
And I feel, you know, this is something that has overwhelmingly made our communities very passive.
It's almost like reverse psychology.
Right.
So you know, continue. It's kind of complicated, this reverse psychology.
So if you allow, right, reacting to a situation is natural. We all know that,
right?
But then when you take this route of, oh, they're expecting a reaction, hence we should not react, right? It becomes a bit complicated, right? So it requires a little more in-depth analysis of the situation, which, you know, hopefully, inshallah, the local scholars, like I said, with the brothers, you know, who are there, and their experience, you know, they have seen enough of the world, and they are well versed with analyzing the situation of the world, and, you know, so they have to kind of collectively decide in your local locality, right, and local community.
Sure.
But not giving a reaction at all, you know, in any case, is not good.
Of course.
This is something that Islam, as a principle, does not approve of, right?
Right.
Unless there is an exceptional situation which calls for just, you know, laying low, you know, but that generally doesn't apply.
No, because
for instance,
the other guy is bulldozing you.
Right.
You know what I mean? The least you can do is scream as you die.
Exactly. Let me make it more.
They say
tangible.
Don't scream. You know, just be quiet and die.
Right.
Without. Go ahead. Yeah.
So in today's time and age, you know, where we say like, oh, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, you know.
Yeah,
these things are, everybody is like, you know, singing songs about it, right? You can at least say, you know, I protest.
I hate to interrupt but when you said freedom of speech, it reminded me how recently, about 1 week before the new year 2023 Gregorian calendar, they shut down the Islamic Pulse YouTube page, right? So what freedom of speech, you know? And I don't know, I'm sorry.
I think they have good reasons to not
emotionally,
like
you. I'm going to give an emotional reaction
at
this point, you know.
Right.
So you claim that freedom of speech means that, you know, you can make a vulgar cartoon about the sanctities of any and all religions, right? But then you have the blatant hypocritical audacity to come and shut down an individual's YouTube channel, which has done nothing vulgar. It has not, you know, destroyed anybody's sanctities, other than perhaps the false idols of the arrogant powers.
Well, they don't really allow the alternate voice to come out, the alternate narrative to come out.
Yeah, I think Islamic Post does
it like quite often, right?
Right.
So hence, you know, naturally they will be targeted even in future. And I think they're clamping it down even more.
Interesting.
But, you know, use your right of freedom of speech if you're living in the West, right? You can at least go out on your social media and you go, I disapprove of this burning of Quran. This is something barbaric. This is something insane. This is something not right. You know, just use whatever, you know, vocabulary to convey your dissatisfaction with it. And also, you know, challenge these governments who are actually sitting as authorities and they're making laws for you. They're governing over you, while in fact Allah's law should be governing over you. So you're now stuck there. So at least question them.
Sure.
Question them. Why in the world would you not stop an individual like this or an organization like this? Who is doing this? You know, this Charlie Hebdo. Why doesn't it get shut down? What is so, you know, special about it?
Nothing, actually, to be honest with you.
What is so exceptional about it that despite the fact that they keep repeating these notorious acts, you know, you still don't shut it down? This means that the imperialist powers, the collective West, wants it to be done.
Sure.
They're doing it on purpose. They have this, Charlie Hebdo has the blessings of not only their government, but also the great Satan, America. Because your government operates under the orders commands and instructions and directions of the great Satan. So this means it's a collective conspiracy against Islam and against Muslims, right? So a Muslim living there should at least be challenging and raising these right questions in their local communities, on their social media pages, on their, you know, I don't know, Instagrams and on their WhatsApps and I don't know, TikTok and whatnot, right? There's so many of them now. I think we're just the old generation now, right? Just raise those questions. Raise the right questions. Disapprove of such things, right? This is your bare minimum responsibility.
Yeah, and like you said, in a world of freedom of speech, you should be able to criticize and critique, you know, and point out the flaws of these individuals.
Yeah, talk about the duplicity of the West, right? If you remember, the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he talked about this duplicity in his letter for you back in the day, right?
Yes, yes.
This duplicity of the West is obvious for you living there now, right? I'm talking to the viewers who are living there, right? So now is the time to educate others, non-Muslims, about it. Talk to them about it. You know, why is it that, you know, every time Islam is the one that gets attacked? Why is it that, you know, every time Islamic sanctities are the ones that get trampled over? Why?
In the name of freedom of speech.
They will get interested in Islam, trust me. And you won't lose a friend. You know, sometimes our youth, they kind of feel like, you know, I'm going to lose a friend if I bring up these talks. No, trust me. Allah is going to make that friend, if he's a sincere friend or she's a sincere friend, he's going to make them closer to you. Bring up these things for the sake of Allah, right? It will become a source of guidance for them. Just like after 9/11, we saw in the United States of America, we were living there, people who had nothing to do with Islam, they became interested in Islam. Why? Right. They're like, okay, what is this Islam? And what is this Quran? They started reading Quran and they actually found guidance in that Quran. So that was Allah's plan that materialized people as a result of the animosity of the West against Islam. People, the Western people, they became attracted towards Islam, interested in Islam.
Right.
They embraced Islam in huge numbers, unprecedented numbers. While they did propaganda against Islam, right? They tried to portray as if Islam and terrorism, you know, they're linked or anything.
Right.
But people found out the reality. They became Muslims. So many sisters, they became hijabi after that, right?
Right.
So this whole war and terror, actually, it opened up more eyes. This occupation of Iraq, the illegal occupation that the United States of America did of Iraq, it opened up more eyes. The illegal occupation of Afghanistan opened up more eyes. The illegal war waged by the Zionist regime with the backing of the United States of America on Lebanon and on Palestine, it opened up more eyes. See how Allah's plan is working?
Right.
People are getting guided towards the true path.
Right.
Through all these activities. Similarly, you know, allow me to say, this Charlie Hebdo or, you know, other magazines, whoever, right? Whatever they do, remember that it is, the grand plan is Allah's plan and it is materializing. You actually made people look into who Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei is. Rest assured, people are going to go search for him. They're going to go to Khamenei.ir. They're going to read his thoughts because of you.
Right.
People who didn't know anything about him. This is how Allah's plans work. It's cause and effect. Right? So, you know, these are a few of the thoughts that I had in mind.
Thank you, Sheikh Ali Qumi. Thank you so much again, taking time out of your busy schedule. And a very beautiful, I think, conclusion to what we were saying. Of course, this idea that the enemies will try their best to blow out the nur and the light of Allah, but Allah will perfect this nur despite the hatred and the jealousy and the greed of the mushrikeen, and Allah bless you, and inshallah we hope to see you on another talk show. Dear viewers, thank you very much for joining us on the Islamic Pulse talk show. That's all from us. We leave you in the care of the Almighty Allah. Fi amanullah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.